Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen y bienvenidos a la tercera temporada de Párate y Destacate. Yo soy tu anfitriona, Nikki Green. Welcome back to season 3 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green, and we are kicking off an amazing new season filled with some incredible guests. Stand Up and Stand Out is a podcast for those leaving university and heading into the work world. We help those in transition find their purpose so they can enjoy their career without sacrificing their lives. Following nearly 2 decades working in Fortune 500 companies, I want to share my leadership learnings with all of you. Thought leaders are needed in all walks of life, not just business. And we're in a critical time to pivot ourselves and the community around us to build a better future together. This show is the start of your beyond college journey to help you answer the question, I graduated, now what? Let's get ready to listen in to the next episode. All right. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time it is when you happen to be listening to this podcast. Welcome back to Stand Up and Stand Out. Today's incredible guest is the multifaceted Amani Roberts. Amani Roberts is a Washington, D.C. born and bred creative graduate of Howard University who has been a DJ since 2008. Amani currently lives in Los Angeles, California, and is the chief musical curator for his entertainment and production company, The Amani Experience. He is also a partnered streamer on Twitch and produces 4 different live streaming shows weekly. Amani has produced remixes of numerous popular artists and hosts a weekly podcast called The Amani Experience Podcast, where he interviews creative professionals from all over the world about why they took the leap from corporate to the creative life. Amani is also an adjunct professor at Cal State University Fullerton, teaching entertainment money management in the School of Business and Economics, as well as the co-director of the Center for Entertainment and Hospitality Management. Amani recently graduated from Berklee College of Music in Boston with a master's in music business. Amani's first book, DJs Mean Business, One Night Behind the Turntables Can Spin Your Company's Success, was released in April of 2020. Oh, wow, Amani, so many great things just in that little clip. I can't wait to hear more and learn more about you. So welcome to the show, Amani.
Thank you very much, Nikki, for having me. It is an honor to be here.
So Amani and I ran into each other as we're working on our next books. I was like, man, he's another Cali person. I wore my I Hella Heart Hayward shirt today because I went to Cal State Hayward when I learned he's a teacher at Fullerton. I was like, man, we got to catch up and see what's going on. And just such an interesting life story. I couldn't wait to hear more. So Amani, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been up to?
Where do I start? Where do I start? I would say after that, I'm working on the second book, professor, DJ, podcast producer, live streamer. That's what I do. Always try to learn more new things and continue with the progress that I'm currently making. And you mentioned one of the highlights of the past year is finishing grad school. That was a lot of work, a lot of writing. So very proud about that. That's a pretty good synopsis about me. And then we'll kind of see what we can cover as we continue throughout our conversation.
I love it. And I like to kind of go back to the beginning. My family's a bunch of sort of comic book sci-fi nerds, and everyone has this sort of hero's journey, or maybe you were the villain. But what's sort of your origin story of how things began and how you went from one coast to the other and probably somewhere in between?
Yeah, I used to work for Marriott International, Marriott hotels across the country. I grew up in the D.C. area, worked in downtown D.C. for a good 2 or 3 years, and graduated from Howard, like you mentioned. And moved to Atlanta during the 96 Olympics, worked there, then Chicago, then Dallas, then Miami, then went back to the D.C. area, and then moved out to the West Coast, all with Marriott. When I was in college, I had decided that, you know, I wanted to be a DJ because I saw Bismarck at a club, but it didn't seem like it was a realistic profession for me. Then I was so used to traditional 9-to-5, white picket fence, a dog, 2.5 kids, all that. So I really didn't pay much attention to it. But every city I would live in, I would go look at the DJs, watch, and just kind of not really learn, but just view and discover and do things. Finally, when I got out here to California, I had the courage to maybe at least learn and try it on the side. So I started teaching myself, then would DJ these couple clubs in Hermosa or Santa Monica. finally, one of my friends told me you should go check out Scratch Academy. Scratch Academy is like this DJ school. So I went to Scratch Academy twice. First time for DJing, which was an amazing experience. Definitely learned a lot, went through some relatively tough times there with passing the final class, but came back and did really well. And then went to production school there a year later. And then from there, I just kind of keep on adding to the DJ resume, then started to teach at Cal State University Fullerton. And it brings me to today, and that's my journey as quickly as I can share, you know, without leaving on some crazy stories, but that's kind of my hero's journey, so to speak.
Yeah, I know when I always tell my story too, it's like I moved pretty much every 2 years of my life. So, you know, and even when I wasn't moving, I was traveling a lot for work. So when people ask me where I'm from, it's kind of a confusing question sometimes. But I think it's a great way, you know, especially through work, to be able to experience lots of different places like that. And especially through music, like music is so closely tied to the history of places and people that I think you learn a lot more about a place when you do go out into the environment and really start to absorb some of that culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I think specifically Chicago is where I learned a lot about like freestyle music, which was popular kind of back in the day, is kind of having a re-emergence. And I had like a lot of people I work with, you know, I was a manager in a hotel, but a lot of my staff would bring in mixtapes for me to listen to. So I'll never forget that. And then when I was in Miami, I learned a lot about like the Latin music between salsa, merengue, bachata. So wherever I've lived, you know, and I'm from DC, which where go-go music is king. So I've learned and absorbed a lot of music wherever I've lived.
I remember I've been to Hermosa Beach tons of times just listening to live music. And now being here in Chicago, it's one of my favorite things before the pandemic of really just being able to go out and really listen to live music because it's so different, you know, and that's where I think I love the layer of being a DJ, too, is because you can also take lots of different types of music and mix them together, which maybe a single artist might not do by themselves. Right.
Oh, yes. We call it genre bending. And so that's very popular. I love to do that. You can go from hip hop to rock to salsa to pop to, you know, EDM, all over the place within one set. And that's a beautiful thing.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk a little bit about what makes you stand out and what makes you unique. Obviously, you've had quite a variety of experiences and now you have this new career and you're doing both things, sort of writing and being a professor and doing the DJ thing. So what's your favorite part of this and what really makes you get up in the morning?
I think my favorite part is just the fact that I bring, you know, almost 20 years of hospitality experience to my business, which helps me kind of stand out there. Now I have a new skill in terms of live streaming, whether it be on Twitch or YouTube or whatever platform, so I can add that to my offerings. And then, you know, the backbone of it all is that I'm a professor, so I'm a teacher at heart, so I love to kind of teach people, guide people along the way. I think those three aspects kind of help me stand apart. It also helps me kind of wake up in the morning because, you know, I'm trying to figure out what am I going to learn today? What am I going to teach today? And then what am I going to play today? Which those three things will keep me motivated for a long time.
I love that. I come from a long line of educators and music educators specifically. And so it's been fun because I think it puts me in a different mindset too every day of like I'm trying to learn. So that I can also share my learnings with other people, right? As you're trying to teach, you also have to make sure that you know enough to share something and you have some basis of facts, right? I've been catching up on your Twitch channel. It was one of the social media things where I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't get it. Like my ex used to watch it a lot for video gaming. So like watch people play video games. And I was like, but I love the content. I love the games that you play. I love the interactiveness. How did you get into that and what, you know, makes you like that medium?
You know, during a pandemic, we needed something to do. I have my own podcast, as you mentioned earlier, and I would live stream that podcast interviews on Facebook. I added Twitch because I would teach about Twitch in my class at Cal State Fullerton. And so this allowed me to use it. And then once I started to use it for the podcast, I would DJ also one day a week on it, added another day. And then there came a time period where one of my DJ friends, DJ Flossie, she and her friend were doing a 30-day challenge, just streaming 30 days in a row. So I said, you know what? I can do that too. So I joined them. That turned from 30 days into 54 days in a row. And so that's kind of where Twitch really took off because then I was able to kind of grow. I was able to develop all sorts of content. So then you kind of continue along throughout the year. This was end of 2020. and you're growing, you're doing different shows. I would do like a talk show where we teach you how to use Twitch. Then we started to add in some more game shows. First, it was like Survivor, where you have five different artists and you vote them off the island. And then we did the brackets, like the best 16 Prince songs or Stevie Wonder songs. And then we continued on to like a dating game, newlywed game. And then that kind of brought me to where we are now, where we did this really amazing award show this past October. Now I have like Family Feud, Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Password, The Match Game. So I have all these game shows that we kind of grew up watching, but we just duplicate them online so people could play from all across the country. And what that helped me do is that helped me sell it to different corporate clients. Even in the virtual hybrid world, it works really well. Even currently, there's still, you know, there's always going to be hybrid meetings just with how, what we learned and how we want to reach people nowadays. So I could offer this as, you know, your pre-meeting entertainment, your middle of the meeting entertainment, your post-meeting entertainment. And I like doing that because that just gives me another revenue stream. Plus, being a talk show host is fun, and I'm getting to be better and better the more shows I do. So that's kind of my journey. You mentioned also partnered streamer on Twitch. That's really hard. It's like 0.1% of all streamers on Twitch are partner. That was a really, really tough journey. One of the toughest things I've been through. So I'm really proud of that accomplishment. Like, students really geek out about it. It was just funny. Yesterday, I had a student who was helping me do some Scantron work. And we were talking and like, you know, oh, do you cover Twitch in your class? I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm on Twitch. I do this. I said, really? I'm on Twitch too. I stream too. He's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm a partner streamer too. He said, what? You're a partner streamer? I said, yeah, I got partnered in October. And he was like geeking out. So, you know, it helps with the marketing. It helps with my resume. And I'm just very proud. So that's kind of the journey of where we kind of found Twitch and streaming, where we are now. I'm a fan of streaming. I think it's necessary for anyone who's marketing their business or services. You should have some sort of live aspect. So just how we're having a conversation, you and I, like people can talk and gets to know you on a more intimate level than what they see in a prepared video or Instagram post. This, I feel, is even more authentic than those.
Yeah, and I would have to agree. You know, after, you know, this is now season three of the podcast, we're 30 some odd episodes in. It's a lot of work to do all the pre-production, post-production, mix everything together. Yeah, it makes a great show, but that's one type of show. And so I keep wanting to learn more about what you're doing to really start to take maybe that next step and start to mix in some of the live elements. Twitch just seems really fun too. You know, before we get to sort of the 60 seconds or whatever streaming on TikTok, you know, to just have a little bit longer forum where you really can connect with people, right? And you have that interaction on the chat and you've got the guests coming in and really start to have some authentic conversations because there is no edits, right?
No edits. You also learned a lot too. Like, you learned what I use, like open broadcasting system, like you streamer in the past, like, you do have to learn about, like, you know, being a producer, executive producer, and like coordinating, doing a little writing, casting. There's a lot of skills you learn that are very applicable to kind of real life also.
Liquidless laundry detergent? As you know, plastic is a huge problem. Only 9% get recycled. Even if you put your jug in a bin, 25% gets declined from cross-contamination. If plastic does get recycled, it can only be reused twice. The facts don't lie. It's time to stop using plastic. Did you know that liquid detergent is up to 90% water? EarthBreeze created dehydrated detergent. Our eco sheets easily dissolve in hot or cold water with the same powerful clean you're used to. Our packaging is biodegradable cardboard and ink. Eco-friendly options are usually expensive. Eco sheets are affordable. That way, everyone can make a difference. Laundry detergent is one of the most requested items at homeless shelters. With every package, we donate 10 loads of detergent. You get to choose who you donate to. We also donate a portion of our revenue to the planet. There is no reason not to switch. Subscribe and receive it exactly when you need it. No contracts, cancel anytime. We even offset all of our carbon emissions. This means your deliveries are carbon neutral. You can stay safe and order right from your home. Eco sheets are vegan and cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and a fragrance-free option, and sensitive to the most delicate skin. There are already thousands of five-star reviews, and we offer a satisfaction guarantee. If you have any issues, we will refund you. So why not give Eco sheets a try? Click below or visit earthbreeze.com.
What are you waiting for? Why haven't you ordered?
Click below to try.
Yeah, that's what I found too. You know, when I first got into the podcast, I was like, I don't know. Well, I'll just do it because, like many people, right? You're in the middle of a pandemic. There's not too many things to do. Let's try some new stuff. And I really liked it. I just liked the form. I liked being able to connect with people again. I liked having one-on-one conversations, not just stuck in giant Zoom meetings, right? And actually getting to know my guests and continue to network with them, do some joint ventures. You know, we have lots of other stuff going on behind the scenes. So for me, it's just been super fun. I always kind of relate it to also like the early days of Comic-Con when they actually sold comics. You got to meet the artist. The podcasting is like that. And I think streaming is like that, where it's about the artistry, right? It's about the creative element of it. It's not about the business. And, you know, that part comes because we all got to pay the bills. But that's not kind of the core reason why we do it and why we keep doing it, you know, every day. So
I agree 100%.
Well, you've talked a lot about, you know, sort of all the different places you lived and some of the careers you've had. Any other color you want to like put in there as to sort of how you started and why you made pivots you did? Because a lot of our folks are young and, you know, when you start in one degree, you think you're going to do that for a while, but that's not always the case. Or it kind of starts a baseline, but, and maybe even with your students, you've probably heard some of these talks too. So tell us a little bit more about your career and some of the pivots that you've had over the way.
Yeah, I would say switching from Marriott was a big deal for me. Just wasn't happy anymore. I was more stuck in meetings and doing spreadsheets than with the people. I love to work with people, both to teach and learn from them. So that was a tough decision because I had to decide to walk away. I was maybe 5 years from getting Quarter Century Club, which is free hotel stays around the world based on availability. But I just wasn't happy. And so I had to make a decision to step away, start to pursue DJing full time. And that was tough because I took a major pay cut, about 65% pay cut, was, you know, took me a while to build it back up. Along the way, I recognized quickly that, in my opinion, it's very wise to have multiple streams of income coming in. So you don't want to depend on just one company for your revenue, because especially nowadays, you know, there are consolidations made, layoffs, furloughs, and so you could get caught out there. So when I was kind of rebuilding myself, I said, I'm going to create at least, you know, they say the average millionaire has seven different streams of income. So I'm trying to work to get to seven strong streams of income. And so that was like a huge mindset shift. And that's what I've been working on ever since, and just trying to continue to hone that. Now, of course, the pandemic happened, so that set different parts of the business back. But really, that was the main shift for me, was when I left Marriott. I continue to add on different revenue streams now. On the teaching, there's a really beneficial one, because that helps out with like just steady income benefits. And it fits really well with the DJ lifestyle, because most of the time it's during the week, during the day, you can grade papers in your free time. So you're still free to go and do different DJ gigs, even travel. And so that's kind of what I've learned between the pivot there, adding on different revenue streams. I always tell my students, make sure you create a side hustle and don't be afraid to share it. Because that's really important. If we've learned anything in the last 2 years, like, side hustles can save you. So if my message to students is always, you know, you're getting your degree, that's good. Definitely pursue, you know, the career you want to pursue, but create some things on the side that you love that can maybe bring you in some revenue, but can also teach you some new skills. So along the way, you become more marketable. So that's kind of my thought perspective on like the pivots that I've made, the ones I continue to make, going to grad school. Really is going to help me get, you know, full-time teaching position, but also open myself up for other opportunities for, you know, freelance work or different jobs that could be out there. So I'm always like a lifelong learner. I feel that's important, that once you finish school, you never stop learning. So don't be scared to go and try to learn new skills. Those are some of the messages I love to share with students, whether they're my own students or other students I teach or show or meet across the world.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important. And I think this will also start to be a pivot of the way education works. You know, being able to sit down for 4 years and just study one thing and do that forever, it's not realistic, because technology is changing too fast. The nature of business itself is changing too fast. And so we're going to have to keep going back for, you know, a year of study, 2 years of study, who knows? And maybe there are more task-oriented things, but just the way that evolution keeps happening, we're going to have to pivot. But like you said, I think it's really important. And one of the fun things about this next generation, where a lot of people are freelancing, doing gig work, they're picking up these kind of side jobs so that they can start to build those skills in a realistic way. We start by learning in the classroom, but you have to apply it to really make sure you're understanding beyond the concept of how do you actually apply it and how do you solve problems, you know, when they come around, when there isn't a textbook to tell you the right answer, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, last important question is, how do you use your superpowers for good, and what causes have affected your life that make you want to approve them for future generation? What makes you stand up?
You know, I would say I use my superpower for good just for helping people that are maybe want to grow, whether it be grow their career, grow their, you know, Twitch channel, grow their knowledge. I'm always willing to help people, share my knowledge with them. I feel that if we learn together, we can be stronger. So really for me, my superpower is just helping people grow, bringing them along. They always say when you go through a door, make sure you reach back and bring one or two people with you. So I try to live by that motto. And causes that help me, you know, stand up or whatever. I really love to work with the youth of today. I volunteer at a DJ camp for kids, and we teach them how to DJ and music production. That's a really, that fills me up. That's my favorite time of year. We haven't had the camp the past 2 years. Hopefully we might have it this year. Just depends. So that's one of the main causes that I work with that helps me stand up, because I feel that if, you know, we can give the youth of today as much information and experience as possible, then we're going to be leaving our planet in great hands. And that's probably the main, but some of the main causes that I do, it helped me stand up. And that's just kind of my mission moving forward.
I love that. And I can definitely relate. I like that quote too, about when you walk through the door, come, you know, reach back and bring one or two people with you. I think that's important, especially reaching back for that younger generation. I think a lot of them struggled almost more so than, you know, maybe some of us that, you know, had our careers or had some things established. When you think you're going to go to university and you're going to have all these social experiences, and all of a sudden that goes away, you lose your network too, of helping you bridge that next gap into adulthood and figuring out who you're going to be when you grow up. So I love that you're spending time with them in so many different facets to help them. Before we sign off, I would love to have you share a little bit about how can our audience find you, and where are you up to next? Probably Twitch, but let's see what you're going to do.
Yeah, you can find me on all the socials. It's just at Amani Experience. That's A like Apple, M like Mary, A like Apple, N like Nancy, I, the word experience. That's where I am on all the socials, twitch.tv/Amani Experience. That's the best way to find me. Reach out, I'll communicate with you. I'm going to be relaunching kind of the podcast, figuring out a different format in the next kind of month or two. But I still produce content weekly, as you said, 4 shows a week. So that's the best place to see me. And then if you follow me on Instagram or wherever, if I have a performance in your city, I'll post that up also. The book, you know, DJ's Main Business, you can find that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Yeah, those are the best ways to catch me. And I'm always here.
Love it, love it. And I'm heading to California in the next couple months. So hopefully we'll be able to connect in person. And definitely, you never know what other collaborations we'll find ourselves up to.
I agree. Let's talk. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know our audience are going to love you. We will put all of Amani's details into the show notes and on our new website. You can find us at www.thenikkigreen.com.
For video outtakes of the show, don't forget to catch us on TikTok. You don't stop at NikkiGreen678. The full-length shows are available on all the podcast platforms now, including Amazon Music, Stitcher, and Good Pods. The full video is available on Nikki's YouTube channel, and links to all of our social media, including info about our guests, is available in our show notes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.